Christy, because I was sitting on the couch last night. She was beside me. And so I got up from the couch and walked into the kitchen. And in that short of a time frame, God changed my mind on what I needed to preach. So I'm grateful for that, because there have been times it was from there to here. So that's really scary. But ask y'all to just be with me, be with the message. I really, really, really want to preach on Rhoda, which is the young girl that Peter went and said, "Hey, I'm here," and nobody believed her. And God just hadn't gave me the okay on it. And the last two times I've preached, I've been prepared to preach that. And for some reason, God's holding that back. So one day we'll get there. So we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 16. And I'm going to start off in verse 29. Excuse me. So in John 16, verse 29, it says, "His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Just be with us for this short little while, dear Lord God, and just be with this message. Please let it help others as it has helped me, dear Lord God. Ask these things in your name. Amen. So, with this, the verse 33, that is my life verse. That is something that I cling to and I hold to. So it's a special verse to me. But in verse 29 through 30, Jesus is speaking openly to the disciples. Now, there is a lot of conversations that took place between Jesus and disciples that is not recorded. But this one is, you know, an open conversation. And in verse 30, they've already realized this, but now they're verbally saying it out loud, that they see that Christ knows all things. And he even answers their questions before they have a chance to ask them. So what I like about that, and some of y'all have probably been in this situation, is where life is just overwhelming. You know you need to pray. You know words need to come out of your mouth while you're praying. But you just can't get it together. I'm grateful that God can read our heart. One, I don't communicate very well anyway. So it is good that God can read my heart, because there are things that, one, we get busy praying, but also the longer we pray, sometimes our mind kind of starts to wander. And then when we get done praying, it's like, oh, I should have prayed for that. But God knows these things. Us praying is showing obedience to God. For God to do His will, for God to do the things that He feels like He needs to do, is not a requirement for us to pray about it. Because God has the ability to do anything and everything He wants to. But us praying about it is being obedient, and showing that, you know, we are trusting in Him. Because God does know it all. And I'm grateful for that, because I've known people who think they know it all. And they don't. So I'm grateful to have a God that does know it all, knows that he knows it all, and I can trust in his decisions. Now, I have prayed about many things with the expectation of how I wanted God to answer those prayers. Almost all the time, God does not answer it how I want him to answer it. But that's also where faith comes in, because you look back on things and you realize, okay, you're right. I'm glad you did it your way. But in the moment, in the minute, we don't understand why God has made this happen. But at the end of verse 30, they say, "We believe that thou camest forth from God." They express their faith that Christ is who he has said that he is the whole time. Because you can believe that Jesus lived and Jesus died. But the important part of that is you have to understand that Jesus is God. There is no separation. He is God in flesh. So that is hard. That's hard to wrap your mind around, to understand that. Explaining that to young people is hard. How can they be the same? Where faith is. No, we always use the, well, I always use the example of an apple. But the basis of our faith is realizing that Jesus is God. But our salvation comes from that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He just didn't live a good life. It was a sinless life. He died on the cross, and he rose again the third day. One of the things I talked about Sunday with our teenagers in Sunday school is we hear a whole bunch about the disciples. We all know about the disciples. But the faith of the disciples, even though sometimes it wavered, Peter and even with Thomas, that to have that type of faith that they had, because all of them, every single one of them, with the exception of John, died violently. They all, some were crucified upside down, some was burned, some was stoned. There is no way that if they did not believe everything that Jesus said, that they would have gone through that death if it wasn't real. So if they lived it, they believed it, they're willing to die for it. With us, we don't have the privilege to walk on the earth with Christ, but we get to see everything. We get to look in the rearview mirror of what happened in the Bible and see how he came through in different scenarios, different situations. But in that moment, they believed it on faith. They did not have the luxury. And even going back to the Old Testament, they were looking for the Christ and believing that he was going to come. No, the faith of Abraham and Moses and all these Old Testament characters, is astounding. I have a hard time believing things without seeing it. I'm a very literal person. So the amount of faith that they had just amazes me. But verse 33, and I'll read it again. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That's the origin of peace, knowing that Christ has overcome the world. That no matter what situations we face, whether it's just minor or if they're really scary, we know that God is in control, and with Him, we can overcome it. Again, with our prayers, sometimes how we overcome things is not how we imagined it. Like I've told y'all before, when my dad passed away, we prayed over and over and over that God would heal him and bring him home. God healed him and brought him home. Just not the way I wanted him to do so. So we ask for God's will to be done, but sometimes when God's will is done, we don't like it. But if God is good in this situation, he's good in all situations. I am not good in all situations. I've told y'all before, that's why God allows me to work from home. Road rage is real in my life. I'm the only one in this world that drives good. So, and Brad? So, but God's will is always good. In those situations, my will towards these other drivers are not good. But after the ascension of Christ, the disciples would learn firsthand how the world would oppose them. And even though verse 33 is in red, so this is words that Christ said, even though he said that, they experienced it firsthand. And like I said, all the disciples but John died a violent death. So one thing I want us to be clear on, because every single one of us have struggles, all of us have things we worry about, all of us are not without troubles in our life. That's how this world operates. We all have some sort of a trouble. So it is, when we're not okay, when we're struggling, it's easy to put on a mask and pretend everything's okay. The very simple answer is, when we ask somebody, how are you doing? They say, fine, how are you? We're good too. None of us are fine, none of us are okay. We all got things we worry about. And nothing else, and our big toe hurts. I mean, we all got pains, we all got aches, we got things of our life. But we just put a mask on and say, we're okay, how are you doing? It's kind of like a defense mechanism. We don't want people in sometimes. Sometimes you don't want to share what's going on, and that's perfectly fine. But it's also good to share that information. Find somebody that you love and trust and share what's going on with your life. Don't keep it inside. But when we do that, we put up those defenses, it's shielding us from vulnerability. None of us like to be vulnerable. But that's where healing takes place. God reminds us that He sees us in our brokenness. Even when we come to church and act like everything's okay, when inside we're just falling apart, God sees that brokenness. And He wants us to come to Him as we are, without the mask, without any pretense, without pretending that we are okay. Because He already knows about our brokenness. He already knows that we're not okay. But He wants us to come to Him willingly, showing that we need Him. Because we can't get through this life without Christ. In the book of Psalms, David frequently cries out to God in distress. In Psalms 34:18, it says that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of contrite spirit. Now, contrite spirit is a concerned. There's things you're worried about. So he already knows that we have a broken heart, but he saves us from that. God doesn't expect us to have it all together. We sing that song, Just As I Am. We all know it's page 81. And if Miss Paula starts playing it, we can immediately pick up singing the verse. We all know Just As I Am. But we don't come to God just as we are. We come once we get things fixed. And unfortunately, a lot of people are holding on getting saved until they can get their life together. Our life will not ever be together. Even as Christians, sometimes our life falls apart. Luckily, we have Christ to put it back together and hold us. Because there's sometimes we can't hold it together and we have to rely on God to hold it for us. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, as soon as I find it, 2 Corinthians 12:9, the first part of it says, My grace is sufficient to thee. God's grace is good. We talk about Just As I Am, we also know page 57, Amazing Grace. One, that song is a sermon in itself. What a great song. But God's grace is truly amazing, and it is sufficient. In our infirmities, God's grace is there. Now, on my phone, I have an alarm clock, and it is a rooster. So it goes off, and every time I snooze it, it snoozes for 10 minutes, and then the rooster goes off again. When I get up in the morning to go to work, Miss Christie's still in bed. She hates my rooster. And it goes off. And I love to snooze. So the more I snooze it, the more it goes off. But no matter how loud and how often that rooster screams on my phone, it's up to God to wake me up. And as much as I love my life, I love being here, I'm okay going home as well. I'm in no hurry. I mean, I'm not going to go buy a bus ticket now to go, but I'm ready to go. And that is where we need to be in life. We all need to be ready to go because we never know when that time will come. We have to be ready. But around people, we sometimes are tempted to fake it. And to pretend that we are fine when we're really not. But church is meant to be a place of honesty, grace, and support. But I also know in reality, and I know firsthand, about getting hurt at church. Church hurt hurts the worst. Because that's where you need to be able, that should be the place where you rely on people the most, is people at church. But that's also where grace comes in, because in as all said and done, we are just a church full of broken people that need a great Savior. And it's on the front of our bulletin, as soon as I can find it, so whoever makes the bulletins, don't get mad at me if I can't find it. There it is. But it's in little red font on the front of the bulletin. But it says, a real church filled with real people with real problems coming together to serve a real God. How true is that? We all got problems. We all have concerns. But we all serve an amazing God that has great grace. But I also know that while we're at church, there sometimes you have to just keep things to yourself, and that is okay. Just don't keep it from God. I am grateful that I have a group of guys that I can call on and rely on. But not everybody has that support system. If you do not already have you a group of people around you at church, find them. There is people here that will help you, because we all need help. We may not ask for it, and we may not request it, but there are a group of people who can just, you can go to that simply say, pray for me. And that's all we all need. All of us stand in need of prayer. But in Galatians 6:2, at the end of it, well, at the beginning of it, says, bear one another's burdens. We are called to walk alongside each other. But especially when times are tough. I cannot imagine going through some things in my life without having a church family around me. But because of that, but I know that church family comes from a group of people who rely on God. So we need to bear one another's burdens. We are called to walk alongside one another. But when you're struggling, it's important to remember that it's okay to not be okay. So often, we put on, like I said at the beginning, a mask, pretending that we're okay. It's okay not to be. Second Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we know what the spirit of fear is. God does not give us the spirit of fear. That is what Satan does. That's where our fear, depression, anxiety comes from. That don't come from God. Now, I struggle with anxiety. I've had a big battle with depression. So it's okay to be in those seasons of your life. But we need to keep in mind that God does not give us the spirit of fear. But it says of power. Now, the power is the ability to accomplish whatever God's will is. If God has called anybody to be a missionary, He has already paved the way for that to happen. God will not set anybody up to fail. So the power that we have in our life to get through things is because God allows it, gives it to us. But it says, but of power and of love. The love of God is amazing. But this love in this verse is a volitional love. What that means is it's a deliberate, it's a powerful love. So it is easy to tell people, maybe it shouldn't be, but see ya, love you guys. But this is a deliberate love. This is a love going out of your way to do whatever you can to help them. That's what Christ did. He went out of His way to die on the cross. He didn't have to. He had the power to call any angel He wanted to. But He had the power of Himself to get off that cross without the angel's assistance. But He stayed there. That is a deliberate, purposeful love. So God knows what we're going through, and He's there to help carry the load. We have to trust in His grace and let others help when you need it. Now, the last thing I want to read, is in the book of James. And verse 1, it says, well, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. How are you supposed to count that joy? But that's what it says to do. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We go through stuff, and we ask God to really answer this prayer, and we really hope He does it quickly. We are a fast-paced society. There is fast food restaurants all over the place. Microwaves get used constantly. We don't like to sit and wait. We are a fast-paced society. But the trying of your faith worketh patience. So our faith grows over time. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, I always thought that verse was a little funny. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I know a lot of people that evidently has not asked God for wisdom because they made some bonehead decisions. But it says in here, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. I know a lot of people that are wishy-washy, that depending on who they're talking to will determine what their answer will be. They play to their audience. When it comes to our faith, when it comes into our belief, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. But how we know we can rely on our faith requires us to go through some hard times, because that's where faith is strengthened. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So that ends, that puts a period on verse 6, where it talks about, though that wavereth, or like in a wave, sea driven with the wind and tossed. For not let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wait a minute, hold on. I've been fighting that cough. We know that anything that God brings us to, He will bring us through it. We just don't know how long it's going to take us to get through it. And we also don't know what the end results are going to be. We serve a great God. We serve a God that loves us, cares for us, and wants the best for us, and will never let us down. We all have sin in our life. We all do things wrong. And I've told y'all before that if the many times I let God down, if I let y'all down, y'all wouldn't like me no more. But even though I let God down so many times, He still loves me. And He would still die for me. That is a deliberate love. That is something that I don't understand. I don't know if I possess that. You did me wrong too many times, I may have to write you off. And I think that's fair. I think we all can understand that. That we none of us like to be taken advantage of. But it's very easy to do something wrong, ask God to forgive us, and before we know, we're doing it again. So, be mindful of the love that God shared. We take salvation granted, I think. that if we really understood the depth of the love that Christ has for us, we'd be full on Wednesday night. And I'm grateful for y'all for being here. But I think our church can do better in faith. I need God. I need Christ. I cannot make it without Him. I need y'all. That's why we're here on Wednesday night. Because I need to be with church people. And I feel like there's people that may take Christ for granted, the salvation for granted. Not in our church, in all churches. I think it's easy to forget what Christ did on the cross. And I think if I could just get a glimpse of what heaven looks like, it would change everything about me. I often wonder how often the everyday Christian tells another person about Jesus. Now, we may say that, the old saying that, we're the only Bible that some people will read. I get that. But openly sharing Christ is not, you don't use that as an excuse not to share Christ. And I wonder how often or when the last time was the average Christian witnessed to somebody. Because at the end of the day, somebody witnessed to us. Somebody shared Christ with us. And our life has changed because of that. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day. I know this was short, dear Lord God, but I just shared what you feel like I needed to share, dear Lord God. Be with us. Be with us through all of our troubles, all of our heartaches, all of our concerns, all of our worries, dear Lord God. We know that you are amazing God, and you will bring us through those situations, dear Lord God. And I just ask that you would strengthen our faith in these instances, dear Lord God, and that you, when we get to the other side of those problems, dear Lord God, that we can feel and appreciate how you moved and how you answered those, dear Lord God. Be with us. Keep us safe, dear Lord God. Be with us on Sunday, dear Lord God. Let there be a great movement, dear Lord, and just souls be saved, marriages restored, lives made whole, and people draw closer to you, dear Lord God. Please don't let us take you for granted, dear Lord. Be with us. Ask all these things in your name. Amen. All right, that's it.